and praise the Lord, everyone. Hallelujah. So good to be in the house of the Lord today. Good to see Ken and Betty Armstrong. Praise God. Yes. They were members of the church for years, and they went to Florida and came back, and then they went back to Florida. But it's good to see them. Ken is the brother to Brother Jim Armstrong, Sister Jody's spouse. Of course, Jim passed away several years ago. But it is so good to see them here. And then we had Sister Sharon Johnson here. There she is, over there. She went to California, and I don't know if she went to Hollywood or where she went out there. Good to see you, Sharon. Praise God, and we welcome all of you. And yesterday, our touch twice was such a success. We had five people filled with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Would you please stand with me for the reading of the word? And by the way, continue to pray for Pastor Roy. I tell you what he does. He works day and night. Friday night, I think he worked here till about 3 a.m. in the morning. And then he came and he was running all over the place yesterday. And then he gets up this morning, he's burning up with a fever. He can hardly talk. And I've told him before, don't work until you get sick. But he doesn't listen. Oh, praise God. Revelation 21, verse 7. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful, the unbelieving, and the abominable, and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. God bless you. May be seated. Now, today I'm going to talk about something that has been on my mind for a while. Of course, as you know, I haven't preached much because of not being able to stand up. And last weekend on Sunday morning, I was up at Appleton. First time I'd been on the road and preaching in about 3 years. But God has given me strength, and I'm feeling strong and or stronger. And I really thank the Lord for that. But I've had a lot of time to look at the news. When my computer comes on, it's got three news stations that pop up right away, and I read the news, all of them. And there's just so many people that are getting killed. And I know that, you know, listening to too much bad news is not good for you. But I read yesterday where a gentleman was in an ambulance, and they were taking him to a rehab center. And he'd had two heart transplants and a kidney transplant, but he was doing good. So he got out on the road in the ambulance, and there, the driver somehow just didn't negotiate the curve the way he should. He ran into an embankment and killed the man and the driver. Now, there was a nurse in there with him, but she was not killed. And, you know, what they said was that he had such great high hopes of living a productive life. And all of a sudden it's cut off. And nobody can do anything about it. Now, this was in the news. Nobody can do anything about it. Once you die, it's final. That's it. You don't usually see something like that in the news or read something like that, but that's what they said. There was a shooting up in Antigo where they were having their school prom, and boy takes a rifle and goes in and starts shooting. Shootings in Ohio. I guess you could just pretty much say there's shootings everywhere. I don't know how safe you are even to walk down the street anymore. It's just that bad. But today what I want to do is just talk to you about dying. Because once you die, I mean, it is final. And you need to make sure that you stay ready to die. So I want to title this, Saved or Lost, Heaven or Hell. Now, save the lost doesn't sound so bad, does it? I said save the lost, saved or lost. But heaven or hell sounds pretty serious. Basically, you're saying the same thing. But you see, nowadays you don't hear much preaching about hell. Well, you take your Bible, though, and open it up. Run your references on hell. And see how many scriptures you can find that Jesus personally mentioned on hell. Now, it's said that Jesus spoke of hell 10 times more than he spoke of heaven. And I would assume that the reason why is because of the seriousness of it. You know, if you're right and you're ready to go to heaven, you don't have to warn people much. Tell them, don't get your hopes so high, you may live to be 100. But you know, I in prayer quite often I think of hell and people going there. Example of that in the Bible comes from Luke, the 16th chapter. Verse 19 through 23. And Jesus speaks of Lazarus, who was a beggar, and the rich man did not call him by name. But there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. It came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. You know, when you think about hell for any length of time, if you're right with God and you're concerned about reaching the lost, you're going to get stirred up. It's just that way. Ezekiel says in Ezekiel 18, verse 4, when he claims that all souls belong to the Lord, then he concluded that by saying, the soul that sinneth shall surely die. And of course, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Genesis, the second chapter, verse 17. When God created the earth, and he put Adam and Eve on the earth to take care of the Garden of Eden, he planted a tree in the midst of the garden, a tree of knowledge of good and evil. And he told them, thou shalt not eat of it. Now you can eat of all the other trees. So they looked down the rows and everything. They saw all of these fruit trees. And now they were to dress the garden and keep it. You know, I hear people all the time say, well, it'll be great when I get to heaven. I won't have to work. I say, Adam and Eve sure did mess up. I'm having to go to work every day. Well, listen, they were working before they sinned. Most people want to get out of work because they're lazy. But I don't know what we're going to be doing in heaven. It would be good to take a long vacation, though. So don't touch that tree and don't eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And we know that the devil is a liar. He came along and he told Eve that you eat of this tree, Genesis 3, verse 4, then you will not die. Thou shalt surely not die. And isn't that the way the devil does? Just changes a little bit, not much, but a little bit. And you may say, how could Eve believe that? I would say that I am speaking to people right here that the devil lies to, and you believe it. You believe it. If you're not right with God today, the devil's been speaking to you, and you are believing that. He's telling you that you're all right. You don't have to worry about being a radical. You don't have to be fanatical about religion. And you believe it. But don't listen to the devil. Take your Bible and run some references on hell and run some references on salvation. See what the Bible says that you need to do to be saved. Hebrews 9:27 says, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. Just like you're sitting here, you're going to be in the presence of God one day. It's going to be just as real as it is here today. I don't know what it's going to like to be, I don't know what it's going to be like to be in the presence of God. I've often wondered, what would it be like to go to heaven? Oh my. That'd just be so great. But I can't just assume I'm going to heaven. I've got to read the scripture and make sure that I'm right, make sure that I'm ready. Yeah. I don't know how many funerals I've been to, which, you know, the person wasn't living right. And then when it came time for the minister to talk about eternity, he called him a brother or sister, and he's in the presence of God, and he's in a better place, and, you know, you hear all that. Now, I've even had people come up to me in funerals in which I preach, and they said, Brother Grant, do you think my grandmother's saved? And, you know, the... the temptation is to, because of the pressure, the temptation is to say, oh yeah, she's saved. Everything's all right. But how can you possibly do that when you may not know, you know, whether she is or isn't, but if you don't know, how can you tell them that you do know? And one granddaughter told me, he said, Brother Grant, what do you think about my grandmother? I said, well, she was such a kind lady to me. She said, I'm talking about salvation. You think she's walking in the presence of God? I said, well, what do you think? Oh, you know, my grandmother never went to church. But I tell you one thing. She was saved. She really towed the line. Well, wait a minute. But, of course, in that case, I didn't say anything. I just listened to her. She wanted me to agree, but I think she figured out he's not going to say one way or the other. You know, because I'm supposed to preach her funeral here in a few minutes. But I do know that you have only one opportunity at life. But if you do it right, one time is enough. But you need to do it right. And you know, you think about the little segment of your life, and then you think about eternity. Forever and ever and ever. Now, it's not that difficult to live for God. It's not that difficult to toe the line. It's not that difficult to come to church. It's not that difficult to be on fire. Pastor Roy stood up here and talked about Laodicea. I would that you be either hot or cold. For if you be lukewarm, I'll take your candle out of the midst of the candlestick. Basically, what he's saying is that I will remove you from the church. Now, if you're cold, I don't think you're going to be saved. Lukewarm, though. See, when you get cold, you remove yourself. But when you're lukewarm, God removes you. Because you're living a lie. You're making people believe that you're all right, everything's fine, and yet you're lukewarm. You see, you're better off to remove yourself than have Jesus Christ to remove you. Well, I don't know. I can't even hardly think about standing before God. And I pass from this life as a lukewarm Christian. I can't think of that. That just, I don't know, it just blows my mind. Because it's just so final, you know. And the death of a loved one is so sad if they're not saved. Of course, this week, the Hollywood Music theaters lost the all-time leading record-selling person, Prince, lived up in a suburb of Minnesota. And I was looking last night, and they said, well, you know, he was cremated after he had an autopsy. They won't know what really happened to him. They just found him dead in the elevator of his compound. But they said the biggest thing is to sort out his cash assets. They said he has $330 million in cash assets. It's a lot of money. They said there'll probably be a lot of suing and before it's all settled. But you know, Jesus said, what would it profit a man if he gained the whole world and lost his soul? I'm not talking about Prince losing his soul. I'm just saying that you could get $330 million and not be saved. You think $330 million will make you happy? Would it? I read a cartoon one time, two old gentlemen. One of them said, the love of money is the root of all evil. And the other one said, explain that to me. He said, well, the love of money is the root of all evil, especially if you don't have any. So, when I talked about Lazarus, a beggar, you know, Lazarus could be a beggar and be lost. Just like the rich man could have riches and be saved. Jesus explained that. It's not easy. It's not easy to have a lot of wealth and make it to heaven. I would say in your own life, if you think about it, when you're doing real good, you don't pray as much as you do when you're having a hard time. There's something about trials, hardships that sends you to the altar. Yeah, it really does. You know, and I prayed this before, Lord, I don't want to live long enough and accumulate enough that I die lost. I'd rather die not having a lot of years behind me and be saved. God's been good to me and been good to Sister Grant, and church has been good to us. But I've just seen too many people. I don't know how many funerals I've held. I've held about 380 weddings since I've been here. And good to see our honeymoon couple back. All right, yes. We've had a good number of people getting married, and we have quite a few others that are standing in line waiting to get married. We're running out of dates is what's happening. Calendar's too full. We may just have to have, like, we do baby dedications. one a quarter, just if you want to get married, just sign up. Come in here. When it comes your time, just march down the aisle and oh my. But you know, you spend all of that money and all of that time. I mean, looking as good as you possibly can. You walk in here in 15 minutes. It's all over. So you mean I spent all this money for this? Yep, it's all over. You know the reason why you do? Because you want to make sure that this wedding is done right, because you only have one chance. And your one marriage should last. It should last. That's what the Bible says. So it is in life that you spend all of this time and all of this money paying your tithing, coming to church, living right. But you get one opportunity. And once it's over, then you can live forever in the presence of God. However, if you miss that opportunity and you squander everything, what's it going to be like if you go to hell? I'm talking about burning in fire forever and ever and ever. You don't like to hear that, do you? I don't like to say it, but you need to hear it. Yeah. Let me just ask you some questions. Are you living the kind of life that God is pleased with? Now you think about it. Think about your life. Are you living the kind of life that God is pleased with? You may say, well, I've been wanting to pray more. I'm gonna. You hear people say gonna. And every now and then, if I'm talking to a person that says gonna all the time, I'll say, so what you going to do now? You going to do this, going to do that. Are you living the kind of life that God is pleased with? Now, if you can't say yes to that, you need to come to the altar and pray this morning. Because you don't know when you might die. You don't know when God will call you from this life. You don't know. All right, another question. If you died right now, would you be saved? Now, you can have assurance that you're saved. But just because you've been baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost does not mean that if you died right now, you would be saved. Now, you need to be baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost. That's the new birth. But after that, you've got to walk before God. And God has to be pleased with you. So are you... If you died right now, or would you be saved? Number three, if the rapture took place now. Now the rapture, according to Scripture, is the catching away of the saints. We have some visitors here, and I'm amazed at how many people I've talked to that's never heard about the rapture. But the Lord is going to take the saints out of this world. You may die before the rapture, but if the rapture took place right now, if you heard the trumpet sound, would you feel comfortable saying, I'm ready to go? You know, when Paul spoke of that, he says, wherefore comfort ye one another with these words. To know that the trumpet's going to sound and the dead in Christ are going to rise. So, are you comfortable with that? If God came at any time right now, would you feel comfortable with it? Now, the next question is this. Are you willing to forgive others of their trespasses so that God will forgive you of yours? Now, I don't have any way of knowing, but of all the people that I've talked to that have problems, I usually start out in counseling by having them to read a little pamphlet that we used here years ago. I still use it. It's entitled Overcoming Hurts. And it's talking about forgiving people. Now, my wife and I, through the years, we've had a good number of people to come by and hurt us. But it'll only hurt just a little while if you can forgive. So people can't just come and press you down and keep you down. If you forgive men their trespasses, so will your heavenly Father forgive you yours. Matthew 6, verse 12 through 15. But if you forgive men not their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive you yours. So basically what the Lord's saying, you expect me to forgive you, and yet somebody's hurt you and you won't forgive them? No, he said, it doesn't work that way. You've got to forgive in order to be forgiven. So when you're hurt and you can't do anything but think about it, usually because you haven't forgiven. So you think about who you have feelings against. Could be your employer. Could be somebody that's not in the church. Could be your spouse. Could be your pastor. Could be a brother or sister in the church. But how often do you need to ask God to forgive you? You know, repentance is not just for the unbelieving person, but it's also for us who have been born again. And if you can forgive men their trespasses, oh my, it's a pretty tough thing sometimes, but you can do it. And if you do it, I got to tell you, you're free. You can feel that freedom. You can worship the Lord. You can go by and shake hands and hug necks. And why? Because you've forgiven. And quite often I hear this, but they never ask me, so what? You know, Jesus, when he died on the cross, he said, Father, forgive them. Because they don't know what they're doing. And so he went to his grave. But before he did, he forgave these people. And when he came forth from the grave and walked 40 days and 40 nights on the earth, he never one time mentioned the people who did him wrong. Never one time mentioned it. So I'd say that probably, I think I'm safe to say, well, I'll use the word probably, more people would be lost because they have ripped the pages of the Bible out and their Bible doesn't say what my Bible says. But Jesus said, if you don't forgive people, then you won't be forgiven. Now, folks, this is serious business. I mean, it's serious business. In 2 Peter 3, verse 9, It's not his desire that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You know, God reaches out to you, and he's saying, come to me, repent. You've got some blockage. Well, Sister Grant's brother just had 3-4 stents put in because he had blockage on the backside of his heart. And he's a fairly young man. Well, he's 60, I guess. But pastors of church is real slim. Most of you have seen Charlie, haven't you? But this man's a little shorter and a little slimmer than Charlie. Got where he couldn't even walk to the mailbox. He didn't know what the problem was. Just get down where he couldn't hardly breathe. He went in and said, oh my, you've got blockage. A couple of arteries were blocked 100%. It's a wonder you haven't had a major heart attack. So they put the balloon up and inflated it and opened it up and then put the stent in. I've had that done myself. It's not a hard procedure. It's not a painful one. I lay on the bed and watch them do it. I don't know how they do it because your heart's beating like this. It's jumping all over the place. And they go up in there and they put it in the right place. I don't know. It'd be like shooting a pistol at a moving target, you know. But you got to get it just right. So God is saying today, if you've got blockage, if you've got something in your life that's separating you from God, that's separating you from victory, that's causing you to have feelings or whatever, you need to ask God to forgive you. You may say, but you don't know what they've done. No, I don't need to know, but I know what the Bible says. I say, I know what the Bible says. Luke 13:3, except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. I'd like for you to stand with me at this time. It's heaven or hell. I've read my Bible a lot, and I haven't found that there's any in between. I know that there are some Christian faiths, that teach that there is an in-between. But what I find is that when you die, it's either heaven or hell. Are you ready? Let's go over these questions again. Are you living the kind of life that God is pleased with? If you died right now, would you be saved? If the rapture took place right now, would you be saved? Would you go up? And are you willing to forgive others of their trespasses so that God will forgive you of yours? Now you think about it. If you didn't have a way to get rid of your sin, and there is no remedy for sin if you can't forgive. That's just the way it is. So I'm going to give you the opportunity to come and seek the Lord this morning. On this side over here, on your right, you can come and just stand here. You can give your heart to God. never repented, come on. If you need to get on fire, come on. Come on down right now. Come on. If you had some problems and you've been praying about it, you need special help, come and stand right in front of the pulpit. Then, if you need prayer, if you're sick in body, come and stand over here on the keyboard side. And we have ministers that'll come and pray. Come on down right now. Come on down.
Fresh anointing. Spirit in me, let me see you, look upon you, I'll climb your mountain.
Hallelujah, that's it, come on down.
Your heart, fresh anointing, you are a spirit in me. Let me see you, look upon
my Jesus, me. My Jesus, my
I'll
Jesus.
I'll climb your mountain,
yes, God.
Look for the